Psalm 46 is a psalm for crisis moments. We all have crisis moments. Some Christians live in crisis, and I say that sincerely. Crisis moments can stretch into days or even months. For example, if you lived in another country and you were arrested for being a Christian, however long you spend in jail, you could probably call crisis moments. If you were grieving over the sudden, unexpected death of a loved one, your crisis moment often lasts weeks or months. If you walk out of the doctor's office with the words cancer ringing in your ears, you have entered a crisis moment. If you struggle with depression, your crisis moments can last weeks at a time. Crisis moments occur when great fear or discouragement begin to overtake you, or when guilt from the past begins to overwhelm you. Psalm 46 was Martin Luther's favorite psalm, the psalm he sung in his crisis moments. In 1521, the Holy Roman Emperor Charles I ordered Luther to appear at a hearing called the Diet of Worms. He was called to answer for criticizing Pope Leo X. On his way to this hearing, he knew his life was in danger. He could be kidnapped or arrested or even killed at any moment, and he became extremely anxious. Luther said to his best friend, Philip Melanchthon, "Come, Philip, let us sing Psalm 46. It is written that when Luther began to sing Psalm 46, his face would brighten like the sun after a summer shower. Now, eight years later, Luther would pen his most famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress, which we will sing in a moment, upon Psalm 46. Psalm 46 highlights the two greatest fears the Old Covenant Israelite faced, daily fears that arose from living in Canaan. These two fears were the destructive power of nature and the daily threat of military invasion. The land that the Lord chose for God's people to live in was a unique land in the ancient Near East. Geographically, Canaan was a land completely beholden to God for rain. There were no great rivers or lakes running through Canaan to get water. And so as an agricultural people, for survival, they must trust God for rain. There was nothing on the ground to trust. One locust plague, one drought, one earthquake, one freak of nature would end life as they knew it. The recent Hurricane Dean hit right at the place Cheryl and I visited last year in southern Mexico, the very city that was underwater we had traveled through. That's where the modern Mayan Indians had settled, and I just read an article this week that noted that the Mayan Indians there had overcome all kinds of challenges from the government, from the prejudice of and hatred of other races. But this hurricane had done more damage to their way of life than all these other challenges combined. Like those Mayans, the Israelites were at the complete mercy of good weather for their survival. And as a farming people, they had no other way of survival to fall back upon if their fields were destroyed. The other daily fear an Israelite constantly experienced was the fear of foreign raids. What else made Canaan unique was that it was defenseless. It was really the only place in the ancient Near East that was defenseless. There were no raging rivers that one must figure out how to cross to get to Canaan. There were no high mountains that you needed to cross. It was right there in the middle of all the other nations. At any moment, a surrounding king or a gathering of kings could enter in and wipe out a people. The Israelites lived with daily fear of attack. And so Psalm 46 utilizes the two greatest fears of the Israelites, the destructive force of nature and the daily threat of attack. In And so if you look at your passage, Psalm 46 begins with a confession of faith. God is our refuge, our ever-present help in times of trouble. And then the psalmist considers the first of two great of Israelites' greatest fears, nature. And the psalmist utilizes the most powerful force in nature, a mighty earthquake. Because God is with us, we will not fear, even if the earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the waves from the earthquake swell up and crash in upon the hills. Some of you know that the three of us, when we were just a family of three, we were in San Francisco in the 1989 earthquake. I used to be able to prove it because about 5 seconds before it hit, I had purchased a Tom Clancy novel, and I had the receipt with the time and day of the earthquake. So that was my proud piece of paper. I lost it. So just trust us, we were there. But what we saw was amazing. We saw streets rise up 10 to 15 feet above the ground and go down and rise up again. And it is very, very scary because the one thing you usually think is stable is the earth. You think, well, at least the ground will stay there. But then you realize even the ground you can't count on after an earthquake. And so the psalmist considers the most fearful image, a mighty earthquake, and then says, in the midst of such an earthquake, we can still trust the Lord and not fear. And that raises the question, why? Why can we have such courage if such a catastrophe hits? And the answer is found in verses 4 and 5. Because there is a river, and the streams of this river bring happiness and peace to God's people. This river brings gladness to those who live in God's city. Hopefully that raises a question in your mind. And the question is, what river? What river brings such protection and gladness? Where is this river? You need to see the irony of this poetic image. The city of God in the Old Covenant was Jerusalem. But Jerusalem had no river surrounding it. And here the psalmist is suggesting that there is a river that protects God's people and brings them peace and gladness. But there was no river. Now, the other civilizations all had their rivers, and they boasted in their rivers. The Egyptians had their Nile. The Assyrians always boasted in the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. These rivers provided year-round irrigation and protection from enemies. And so the locals considered these rivers gods. They each attributed deity to these rivers for protecting them and providing for them. But Canaan had no such river. And so if you were an unbeliever in those days in another nation and you got hold of this psalm, you would laugh at this. You don't have such a river. You are defenseless and you are helpless. Now think how that is really the same today. When you go through a difficult situation and unbelievers see your confidence and trust in the midst of such trial, they see your trust in God's providence, they see you do not panic, they wonder about the source of your strength. I don't see the source of your strength. How do you have such confidence? We'll come back in a moment to the meaning of what this river is. I think you already know. Verse 5, the city that the river makes glad is the city where God Himself lives. That's why God's people are safe there. They are in His presence. And because God is present, even an earthquake cannot move the city or its inhabitants. Now, since it is most often at night, we feel the most fearful. At the end of verse 5, we have pictured a rescue from the Lord at dawn, just at the moment when our fears are at their worst. Now, from here, the psalmist describes then the second greatest fear, or the other great fear of the Israelite, enemy attack. Verse 6, the nations rage with cries of war. There is a gathering of armies against the Israelites. The kingdoms totter as war begins to rage. But what happens? God utters His voice and the entire earth melts. God is in complete control, and He determines all that happens on the earth. The whole world bows before His authority. And then verse 7 rephrases our confession a bit differently from verse 1. The Lord of hosts or armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In verse 8, continuing on the theme of enemy attack, the psalmist invites his readers to consider the past, how God has protected His people in days gone by. Come and behold the works of the Lord, the desolations He has brought on the earth. Remember Egypt? Remember what God did to our enemies in the Red Sea? Remember the Canaanites back when we needed them defeated to enter this land? Remember what God has already done. Verse 9 then speaks of the end of all enemy attacks against God's people. And even though verse 9 is in the present tense, this is a poetic device to speak of the future. The present tense heightens the surety that it will be accomplished. It is so sure that God will defeat every enemy that it can be declared as a fact now. But there will come a time when no enemy of God's people will have a weapon left. God will shatter every weapon and bring His people eternal peace. And thus, there will come a time when God will defeat guilt, because He will perfect you. He will defeat sickness and death, because He will give you a new body. He will defeat those who hate you. He will defeat your loneliness and all your reasons for fear. He will defeat once for all Satan, your accuser. It is as good as done. Now this brings us to the very heart of the psalm, verse 10. This is the exhortation to you, God's people. In light of what you have just heard, here is what you are to do. Nothing. Be still. When your fears overwhelm you, be still. That's it. Know that I am God. Notice how the psalm changes here from the third person to the first person. It's as if God interrupts the prophet to speak Himself to us. Be still, my people. I am in control. I am on your side. I will be exalted among the nations. All God's enemies will bow. I will be exalted among the earth. Nature is at my command, even if it doesn't seem so. Now, by exhorting you to be calm and still, the Bible is not suggesting you will not feel anxiety in your crisis moments. You are not robots, and God understands that. But in your time of fear and crisis, the psalmist is saying, may the peace of God's providence and His love for you keep you from panic or from making rash and sinful decisions because you are panicking. You do not need to respond to your fears as if there were no sovereign God working all things out for your good. Now it is noteworthy that the psalm ends with the refrain that the God of Jacob is our fortress. Not only would the term God of Jacob remind Israel that God made promises to Israel, but who was Jacob? Jacob was a very weak believer, prone to not trust God, prone to scheme when he was fearful. What a great way to end the psalm. The God of this weak, fearful saint is our God, just like He was Jacob's God, even when Jacob failed to realize it. Isn't that a great encouragement? The promises of Psalm 46 are yours in Jesus Christ. Because He died for your sins, God is your God and moves all events for your ultimate good. And thus Jesus told His disciples, do not live in fear, but know that I will supply all your needs. And thus the gospel is your fortress amidst your crisis moments. Now you can probably guess then what the river would refer to. Yes, the river is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the Spirit I give you will be like rivers of living water inside of you. This river gives you gladness in your trials, assures you of God's presence and protection. marks you as belonging to God and that God loves you even when you sin. So whatever your crisis moments, you do not need to panic, because through Christ you have life and love. And the city of God in the new covenant, of course, is heaven itself, the new Jerusalem, the Jerusalem above. In Jesus Christ, you are already members of that city. Nothing on earth can threaten your citizenship with God. Even if the earth gives way, you are safe in God's city, because Christ has secured your salvation. And so, beloved, the next time your crisis moment hits, and it will, when great fear begins to overwhelm you or great discouragement, follow Martin Luther's advice. Consider Psalm 46. Consider the truths of Psalm 46. Be careful of making rash decisions based upon your fears. Calm down and remember your God. He is in complete control of every single atom in the universe, moving the world for your benefit. And this mighty God has pledged to be on your side because of Jesus, your Savior. The river the world cannot see and understand is God's Spirit, who gladdens your hearts in times of trouble and calms you. So in your fearful moments, remember Psalm 46, remember your God, and trust Him. Amen. Let us then sing together, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," from this psalm, and let us stand. Excuse me, it's a different hymn than in your bulletin. Hymn 92. Thank you.